This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macra and Tass.
This is something that we've been having some discussions about this. I've talked about this on air. I recently read a book called Silent Invasion, which is about the Chinese influence in Australian politics, predominantly in politics, but also in a lot of Chinese-Australian community groups. And, you know, I've done a lot of research on this. I've read about it. People like Michael Danby, you know, have spoken about it at length. But the person who's making the, perhaps not the biggest noise, but the most complete noise is
complete. What do you mean by complete?
Well, he's actually, it's based on facts. It's based on research.
So he's done some investigation.
He's done a piece of work, as you love to say, Tass. Is Clive Hamilton. Good morning, Clive. How are you?
Good morning, Tass. I'm fine, thanks.
It's Tass and Macca. I'm Macca.
And I'm Tass.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's
We're just doing a voice check for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Clive, you're an academic and an author, and can you give our listeners a bit of a feel? What was it that set you on this course of looking at the influence of the Communist Party of China in Australia? What was it that piqued your interest?
Well, it's not an area I had worked in before, but when I noticed back in 2016 a number of major news stories, particularly about Senator Sam Dastyari and his close relationship with a Chinese billionaire, a man called Huang Zhongmo, who's just had his permanent residency revoked and has been told he cannot become an Australian citizen. Senator Dastyari became unhealthily close to this man, who had made very major donations to both sides of politics. And it then emerged through some very good reporting that Mr. Huang had senior roles in community organisations that had links to the Chinese Communist Party. And then other stories started to emerge, in particular about how a handful of Chinese or Chinese-Australian wealthy businessmen, and one woman actually, had become the biggest donors to Australia's political parties. And I thought, what is going on? Mm. And it was that, I thought, that, you know, this is big, particularly when it turned out that some of these donors did have links to the Communist Party back in Beijing. I thought, there's something big going on. So I started to investigate, and the first thing I did, as all good researchers do, is go and talk to the experts, the people who really know what they're talking about. So several academics who are sinologists in Australia, such as Professor John Fitzgerald in Melbourne, perhaps our leading sinologist, and started to get a picture of what was going on. And over the next year or so, I researched and wrote this book, Silent Invasion.
And look, I've read it, Clive. I couldn't put it down. And I had read some of the articles about this and had spoken to some people. And one thing that I found really interesting is speaking to Chinese folk in Australia, they're actually either defending the Communist Party's involvement in some of their organisations, or virtually completely denying it and saying, no, we don't want to talk about that, and it's not relevant. I don't think many people realise the extent that this has been happening, not just in Australia, but how it's impacting, whether it's obviously commercial activity, you know, buying the lease on the port of Darwin, but ex-politicians and current politicians being involved closely with some of these organisations that are organs of the Chinese Communist Party, and their goal is to infiltrate and influence.
It's an extraordinary story, and you've just pointed to several elements of it. It's very important to point out that the Chinese-Australian community is, as you expect, very divided on its views. I mean, many of them came to Australia to escape the authoritarian nature of the Communist Party. They were either from persecuted groups or they just couldn't stomach it anymore and wanted to have the freedoms that we enjoy in Australia. Others, however, particularly more recent immigrants over the last 15, 20 years, feel a continued loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party. Of course, many Chinese people, you know, feel great affection for China as their homeland, which you'd expect in the same way that Italian Australians feel, you know, they barrack for the what are they called, the Azzurris, the Italian soccer team. And that's fair enough. But there's a difference between feeling pride in your country and supporting the Chinese Communist Party, particularly when it is having a major influence in Australia, and in many cases taking over traditional Chinese-Australian community groups. There's been a long history of this, and people have been kicked out, and suddenly new people are running it who start spouting Beijing's line. And so there's quite a struggle going on within the Australian Chinese community, which, it has to be said, the pro-CCP groups have been winning, not least because they've had the support of extremely wealthy Chinese or Chinese-Australian individuals in this country. And, of course, the business links and Australia's extraordinary investment and trade relationship with China has given enormous power to those who say, well, let's develop these links with Beijing. There's money to be made in it. And you mentioned how some very prominent Australians have become mixed up in this, often well remunerated, and suddenly they're working with or become spokespersons for Chinese companies or Chinese organisations that or Chinese-funded organisations that are promoting Beijing's position in Australia.
I mean, one thing, you know, the Chinese Communist Party has learnt is that money talks. They are probably better at this than any, just about any other government and certainly other political party. Just for our listeners, we're speaking with Clive Hamilton. Clive is a Professor of Public Ethics at the Centre for Applied Philosophy and Public Ethics and Vice Chancellor's Chair in the Public Ethics at Charles Sturt University. You've written a number of books, Clive, and, you know, it's about issues that people actually don't often want to talk about. You know, some of that work, Silencing Dissent, How the Australian Government is Controlling Public Opinion and Debate. Now, that was an older one. The Freedom Paradox, you know, Affluenza, I remember reading that. That was a fascinating read. The China issue, though, is, in a political sense, and I speak to federal parliamentarians quite a lot, they feel quite awkward when you raise this issue with them, let alone perhaps ones from previous ministries that have retired and are now lobbyists for the Chinese government. But I'm talking about current members of parliament and senators. They go all quiet when you bring this subject up with them. Why is that?
It's very interesting, and I've found the response to my book in federal parliament and state and local governments, another issue entirely, but in federal parliament, it's been very mixed. There are some people in federal parliament on both sides of the aisle who are extremely concerned about Chinese Communist Party.
Andrew Hastie on the government
side.
Michael Danby on the Labor side.
Yeah, and Anthony Byrne from the Labor side, who's extremely good on this issue behind the scenes. So they get it, and they have welcomed my book as a valuable contribution to public debate. But there are other people, as you're suggesting, in federal parliament who basically are compromised one way or another because of the close associations they've had to people whom ASIO has been warning, people you really shouldn't associate with and certainly not take money from, because according to ASIO, they are basically agents of influence on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party.
What would Menzies, what would Robert Menzies say? We need another Petrov affair.
It is extraordinary, and we may well get one, because the Parliament last year passed the new foreign interference laws, really criminalise a whole lot of activities. It's very much aimed, although, of course, they can't say this, but it's very much aimed at China's interference in Australian politics. And it criminalises a whole range of activities that have been defined in the new legislation, really specifically targeted at Chinese Communist Party operations in Australia. And so what we haven't seen yet is any prosecutions under these laws. And I think when we do have these prosecutions come into the public domain on the basis of intelligence and policing investigations, I think a whole world of influence activities will open up to the public, you know, a bit like the Petrov affair, particularly if those activities are associated with political operators in Australia. So Australia has really led the world in this regard. A lot of other countries are looking very closely at Australia's foreign interference laws. Canada, for example, New Zealand, the United States, Germany. I was there not long ago, and they're most interested to hear about what we've been doing and watching closely to see when those prosecutions occur, to see how well the laws work.
Clive, it sounds all a bit like a movie, to be quite honest. What does all this mean? Like, almost like a James Bond movie,
yeah,
really.
What
does this mean for ordinary people on the street? I mean, should I be scared? Should I be concerned? Should I actually watch my back? What does this mean for us as ordinary folk?
Other than those of us who write and speak publicly on this...
Well, yeah, you need to watch your back, I suspect.
Yeah, don't need to watch their backs, of course. And look, it's extremely important. I want to stress this, that this is not a criticism of Chinese people in Australia.
No.
It's exceptionally important to distinguish between Chinese Australians and the Chinese Communist Party. And many Chinese Australians are very hostile towards the Chinese Communist Party and what it's doing in this country, and indeed helped me in writing my book and are helping the authorities in trying to expose these activities. And so it's very important that this expose that I and several others, particularly some very good journalists, have been doing, does not get turned into any kind of anti-Chinese hostility, because that would just play straight into the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. That's what they do constantly. Beijing's propaganda is always saying any criticism of the Chinese government is an attack on Chinese people,
and every patriotic
Chinese person must resist.
Yes.
And it's most important we never fall for that. But on the other hand, well, not on the other hand, let's notice that, but now that all of this information has started to come out over the last couple of years, I think we Australians need to no longer be naive about this. We were very open and welcoming, and the Chinese Communist Party exploited that in many, many ways, which I detail in my book. Even, you know, very well-meaning organisations like writers' festivals and cultural organisations, you know, wanted to promote Chinese writing in Australia. And when you look more closely at it, it turns out that the Communist Party in Beijing is manipulating it. So we need to move from our state of naivety into a state of vigilance and be alert to the kinds of activities that have been happening and take note of it and call it out when we see it happening. And that can be in all sorts of ways, in our politics, of course, in business, in our community groups. I've had contact from quite a number of anxious parents, including some in Melbourne, who've talked about they go to their schools on Multicultural Day, and there's a video playing, which is supposed to represent China. But it's pretty clear that it's actually a propaganda video. It's come straight out of Beijing. It's not a very welcome cultural exercise. It's actually a propaganda video. And so, and indeed, we have in many schools in Australia so-called Confucius classrooms, which are paid for by Beijing to essentially carry out soft power propaganda in Australian schools.
So it's very, it's also in university. I was just going to say, I had a message from a listener. He said, we need to buy some Huawei phones. But he said, it sounds to me like Clive's going to be a non-consensual organ donor.
Oh, God, don't say that. No. I mean, what he's referring to, of course, is it's so horrifying, I find it even hard to talk about it, but the strong evidence that in China, prisoners, and particularly the Falun Gong practitioners, which is just a peaceful spiritual practice that the Communist Party became very paranoid about because they started to have too many practitioners. They've been extremely persecuted and many have been arrested, killed in prison, and then had their organs harvested sold to people who need replacement organs.
So, of course, you can only take so many organs out before someone dies.
Well, and there's been a scandal that's broken in the last week or so, and that is some top scientific journals around the world are now planning to withdraw 400 scientific papers written by Chinese authors about various medical issues, surgical issues and so on, because it's believed that the data used on which the papers were written came from people who have been killed for their organs, murdered in prison. And so they just believe that to propagate this information, given the circumstances in which the data was generated, would be utterly unethical.
And don't forget, Tass, there's a history with unfortunate medical experiments by governments over the years.
Yeah, of course.
On people that had no choice. Also universities, Clive. There's a lot of influence. There's a lot of, I'll call them quasi-institutes. That have been set up with Chinese Communist Party money, in some instances by individual donors, but it's pretty difficult to be a successful business person in China without being close to the Communist Party. In the universities and in publishing, there's been... You had some difficulty getting this book published, didn't you?
Well, I did indeed. My usual publisher that published...
Not Melbourne University Press, was it?
We'll get to them. But my usual publisher, Allen & Unwin, very late in the day, the book was all finished, been legaled, was about to go to be typeset. They rang up and said, we're not going to do it because we're afraid of retaliation from Beijing. I was shocked. Mm. I mean, it was a complete vindication of the argument of my book. And I couldn't believe such a good and publisher Allen & Unwin would do that. And so I didn't have a publisher. And pretty much the whole of the Australian publishing industry ran a mile from the book, except Melbourne University Press, who were extremely keen to publish it in the form of Louise Adler, their recently departed CEO. And then suddenly there was this, we've got a problem, and there was this drawn out, difficult process. And in the end, a couple of weeks later, they said, we've decided not to publish it. And, clearly pressure had been brought to bear. That university, like several prestigious ones in Australia, is extremely dependent on money from Chinese students.
Yeah.
And so they chickened out as well. So, I've been interested to hear defenders of Melbourne University Press, like Bob Carr, who, of course, ran a China-funded think tank at the University of Technology, Sydney.
What a joke.
And poured out a whole stream of pro-CCP stories. Bob Carr was on the board of Melbourne University Press, and they've had all these troubles in the last weeks.
Picked up his quill and went home, didn't he?
He's such outrage. The independence of MUP and so on. I thought, well, they weren't so independent and so gutsy to publish my book. But fortunately, Hardy Grant, a small but wonderful Melbourne publisher, they picked it up, and it was because they said, well, no, we actually believe in free speech, and we are willing to take the risk. And they did, and so the book got out there.
Look, I've seen instances of this in the commercial world. I've been personally and professionally involved, where pressure was brought to bring not on the company I work for, but another company we were working with on another project, and they withdrew because of pressure from the Chinese government. And it was about an artist. Right.
Wow.
A dissident. They called a dissident. But, you know, freedom of expression in art is just as important as it is politically. And we know, unfortunately, the Chinese Communist Party is probably the most controlling political force the world has ever seen. And they're determined to have influence in Australia. And you know, I give you credit, Clive, you're talking about this. You know, it doesn't come without some difficulties. I understand that. I commend you for it. I can't get a visa to China. They won't let me go to China because I've said something unfortunate about China on this program before. But I really commend you for this. And I say to our listeners, don't, you know, do some research on this, listeners. Find out about it. And you will be shocked. You will be shocked that it's at the level it's at, and it's at the stage it's at, and that our federal parliament, apart from a few lone voices, is letting it happen. Okay, there's legislation, but let's see if anyone gets prosecuted. A final word, Clive. What should what's your final word?
Well, the reach of the Chinese Communist Party is far wider and deeper than people realise. Abroad, at Cambridge University Press and the German publisher Springer have started censoring their publication under pressure from Beijing. Plays in London, in the West End, and in Madrid have been dropped under pressure from the Chinese government. So the cultural impact of this is truly alarming. And you said you were shocked as you got into this. I was shocked. Mm. I started investigating this. I couldn't believe what I found. And there's a lot more to be found. So your listeners might be alert to those kind of forms of cultural influence and censorship that are spreading around the world. It's extremely alarming. If you know, it's one thing for the Chinese Communist Party to censor books and films and so on in China.
Oh yeah,
but when they start doing it in democratic countries, that's
very concerning.
Our freedom of speech that's jeopardised.
Yeah, it's very concerning.
Clive, we've run out of time. I do thank you for your time. I know that you're travelling at the moment, so I really appreciate it. It's an important issue. It's an important issue. I actually tweeted the Chinese Communist Party this morning hoping they were listening.
They'll be listening.
Oh, I know they'll be listening. G'day, guy. I don't speak a relevant community language, but g'day. And I've already had messages from some Chinese listeners who say, stick to it, Clive.
Clive, thank you very much for your time this morning. Some of our listeners have actually given us some feedback and have certainly enjoyed the discussion this morning.
Yeah, so thank you.
A Chinese language edition of the book will be out soon, so that'll be reassuring for those members.
I'll
of
have
the
to
Chinese
go. Next time I travel, I'll go and leave that in a few Chinese airline departure lounges.
Yeah, why not?
Thank you very. Thanks so much, Clive. Great work.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye bye.
That was Clive Hamilton, author of a series of interesting books, but his most recent book, Macca, which you've read,
Silent Invasion. And seriously, this isn't, you know, until you look at this, you don't realise just what is going on here.
Yeah.
It's very serious, and our politicians, including, you know, some former very senior leaders of political parties in this country, have had an involvement with these, and they're actually starting to step away. I don't know why. That's up to them.
There we go.
But it's a very interesting subject. Tass wasn't really aware of it until recently when I raised this with him. And don't forget.
Partly because, you know, I mean, sometimes these things are viewed as being a bit like conspiratorial.
Yeah,
so,
but just remember, the Chinese Communist Party is not.
I did ask Macca to actually produce some evidence to substantiate this. No, I wasn't aware of Clive's work in this space, yeah. So there you go.
But don't forget, the Chinese Communist Party is not a friend of our community.
No.
They like to lock us up. They like to treat it like a disease. They like to, you know, electrocute us as part of their psychiatric practices. Don't forget, they are not a friend of our community. They are not a friend of freedom. They are not a friend of diversity. They are not a friend of democracy.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.